Yep. I mean, that's essentially why you go into an iron like these. You want, no matter what your mishit, center strike, you want your spin rates to be very similar across the board. A player that's looking for forgiveness, like that's where you're gaining forgiveness, is understanding of what exactly your ball is going to do when you don't quite hit it perfect and or you do hit it perfect. A player is not going to want to look at something ugly, so they also make them look good too. Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to another episode of Vlogger Golf Podcast. Today, we've got a pretty interesting take. So we're going to be talking about players' irons. It's a category in the golf market. I don't want to say that's been forgotten about, but just due to marketing, distance, all that we ever seem to see is player improvement irons now. P790, I530, T200. Basically,
those aren't players' irons?
God, player improvement irons. So, you know, and don't get me wrong, obviously that's a
huge... We're going to put a big air quote on player.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's like, what does that term even mean, right?
Correct.
So, I feel like we've got a few select heads in front of us. Obviously, this isn't all of them, or we'd have to fill up this entire table. But this is a category that doesn't get talked enough about, and it's almost like they kind of get lost sometimes. Like, people don't know they even exist anymore. So, in your best opinion, for a player's iron, let me back up, I guess. In the golf world, we kind of have a few categories. We have super game improvement, so like Adam's old school hybrids, your Cleveland launch, your Halo. So like kind of cater towards senior ladies players. Then you've got game improvement, so like a QI, a T350. So something that's, oversized, has a little bit of offset to it. Most time are hollow body now. Then you have player improvement, which is going to be still mostly hollow body, a little bit narrower top line, so P790, T200. Yeah. Then you've got what's in front of us is player's irons, and then we go into blades.
Yeah.
So,
which blades, I would say, tie into this same kind of grouping here. But I think we kind of have... What player are we talking about here?
I think this range of irons in front of us covers really anybody between as low as a scratcher plus player. And I would say we could almost tap out at a 10 handicap. It's not to
You're
say...
You're essentially saying a single digit to...
Correct.
If we're going to actually put a handicap on this, which we all know we don't need to get into the handicap stuff.
It's all subjective.
The way I would explain what...
God, I wish I could go into that.
The only way I can explain a player is somebody that is... very feel-oriented when it comes to ball striking, right? They want to be able to understand exactly what their club does, how the ball feels off the face, as well as turf interaction. And when we talk about these irons here and kind of why what we see design difference compared to the player improvement category, the player improvement, the hollow body style clubs, you lose a lot of what we as knows feel. Which I say feel is essentially
subjective.
Sound, yeah. Correct. Yeah, sound, turf interaction, all encompassing. So that's the thing. Just because you're not playing these irons, we're not like, I'm not sitting here saying you're not a player.
Or you can't feel the ball leave the face.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's very.
Everything about golf is subjective to the individual holding the club.
Yes. But we do, I will say, it seems like these clubs, I mean, it's just not sexy in the terms of marketing.
Correct.
I mean, even the companies themselves, obviously there's outliers, but the companies themselves are not fully diving into the marketing of these specific clubs because they know that they're not their breadwinners. They're not going to make their most money on these irons themselves.
Yeah, we would probably, like, just to throw a number out there, we would probably say, 20% of the golf market's in this and maybe 60-50 in the game improvement category?
I would doubt it's 20.
Really?
I would say who you're going to see playing this iron is probably someone that's played for a long time, started playing with either a fully forged blade or a traditional old school cavity back, not a Ping G440 cavity back. So those players, doesn't matter their skill level, are always going to kind of lean towards this iron. Now, I will say if you have somebody that already has something that's a little bit more game improvement, we're definitely not seeing somebody get fit into these type of irons. And in today's world, like, it's not worth hurting your game over if that strike consistency isn't there. But let's go through, let's talk about what exactly is, like, we'll be the first to tell you there's technology in these heads when traditionally it's all cosmetics.
Yep.
Right. So what would you say your top player's iron is right now?
On the everything that we've got in front of the table, if we take comboing out, I'd probably say the T100 from Titleist would probably be the number one, just because we've had it the longest. You know, it's on its second year. Yeah. We talk about brand new.
Wouldn't be surprised if we see a new version come out this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would, it'd be a toss up. I mean, Blueprint S kind of surprised everybody because it's a ping iron that all these guys that are uncontracted are playing. But that S3 from Mizuno, it's done really well. But I would say probably.
What's your favorite one? Yeah. List all five.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough because they're all good. Because, like I said, we've had Titleist for 2 years now, so it's a little bit of a skewed number there. Mm-hmm. I would say Titleist, just with the tenure that we've had it, and we've really hadn't had any negative feedback on it. So I'll lock in T100.
T100's your favorite?
With an asterisk. Yeah.
I would say my favorite is probably going to be the Mura TC202 and or the Mura MC502. Only reason why I think that's my favorite iron, I think, one, it ticks all the boxes when it comes to how it looks. Obviously, Mura shaping is very unique, and once you've kind of seen them or played them, it's hard to look at something else. But this new 202, I loved what they've done with the cavity and essentially designing and where they're trying to position a lot of the weight in the head. So for iron that doesn't have a lot of offset, isn't super strong lofted, it has a lot of forgiveness in the sense of where they're actually positioning the mass in the center CG within the head.
Yep.
Right. So even on those off-center strikes, and I would say what we can say across the board here is that all these companies, like, these are not unforgiving. Like, we've had people at Ping tell us that the current Blueprint blade is technically more forgiving than, like, the Ping G irons that came out, which was their game improvement irons.
Yeah, just both strategic mass and MOI.
Correct. And that's what every company's doing with these irons. Just because they look like a fully forged, in which the normal golfer is going to come in and say these are blades, there's a lot of thought that goes into these irons in the design world. And yes, I will say a player is not going to want to look at something ugly, so they also make them look good too.
Mm-hmm.
But Mura, long story short, Mura is probably my favorite iron out of this bunch. Now, obviously we have some on the table here that we do really well with in the Bay, like Srixon ZX7s.
Yeah, with that
Callaway TCB. I mean, I'm missing a bunch, but I would say, like, they're all very similar in the sense of what they're designed
what
to do.
What the goal of the iron actually is designed.
What's the normal loft of a player's iron, would you say?
So in this category, you're going to notice 32 degrees of loft on a typical 7 iron. And then on the
essentially 32, 33, 34.
The only asterisk is going to be like with T150. Obviously, they're 2 degrees stronger because that undercut cavity. But you're going to see 32 degrees of loft compared to your game improvement irons are approaching 27 degrees of loft now. Which again, spin, launch angle, landing angle. Just because it's strong in loft doesn't mean it goes further. A lot of people don't understand that concept.
Correct.
Because the objective of a player's iron is you're going to lose some ball speed to gain spin and landing angle, because the player that's going after this head already has the ball speed, already has the club head speed to play it. You know, that's kind of the biggest thing. Trotty actually did a really informative video talking about the guy that's purchasing, like, the P7 MC iron isn't chasing a 220-yard 7 iron. He's chasing a number.
No one should be chasing that.
Correct. Chasing a number, a landing angle, and he's trying to hold greens. That's the goal of these irons.
I mean, Which company was it that always said, like, spinsicity?
Yeah, it's Ping.
Oh, it's Ping? Yeah. I mean, that's essentially why you go into an iron like these. You want, no matter what your mishit, center strike, you want your spin rates to be very similar across the board. Because a player that's looking for forgiveness, like, that's where you're gaining forgiveness, is understanding of what exactly your ball is going to do when you don't quite hit it perfect and or you do hit it perfect. So, like, that makes perfect sense. Now, we did bring in the T150 because I would say companies are getting smart.
Yep.
You're seeing more and more players on tour go to kind of a mixed bag.
Or a combo set.
Combo set where they're designing irons that aren't necessarily player distance, but they're definitely more on the distance side.
On the ball speed side of things.
Ball speed side of things comparative. I mean, perfect example, Scotty Scheffler won by a million this week. What is his 3 and 4 iron?
Yeah, the Strixon UZ85.
I mean, the thing is a shovel. Like, it's massive,
right? It's a driving iron head.
It's a driving iron head that he plays like his normal irons. He launches it high, launches it low. So we're not saying that all players have to play...
Oh, you forgot quotations.
Three iron through wedge with one specific head. I mean, there's definitely technology out there to help you in the modern, but I feel like I feel like people think these are just too hard to hit or even give a shot. Because I will say this. Let's just say a player's played like a T200, the first version of a T200, the first version of a 790, and they've gotten used to that hollow feel, that clicky sound, right? Obviously, at the time, I'm sure they probably gained a lot of distance going to that iron because they were probably playing something that was old or ill-performing iron for themselves and then get fit into those, and they see a big jump. Like, I could probably put the Mira MC502, the new TaylorMade P7CB, and the ball speed probably be the same. Just because, just because of the head weights change.
Right? That and kind of like you mentioned, where they're placing the weight of these irons, too. That's changed a lot.
Mass. Like, that's all it comes down to is delivering mass into the ball. Yes, these are weaker loft, but, you know, it's kind of finding that fine line. I don't think just because you go to an iron like this, you lose ball speed. Kind of want to make that point clear. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a lot to it when it comes to wanting to play an iron like these. It's not – definitely don't – distance is important, but distance is very irrelevant when you're going to an iron like this because they're almost going to have governors on it.
Yep, and I would say, too, the part of the club that doesn't get talked about, which is the bottom here, most of your players' irons, you'll see this leading edge, like on the S3 or even the Mira, has almost a C-grind bevel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Strixon obviously has that tried-and-true patented V-sole. It's turf interaction. Getting in the turf faster, right? Yeah. So that's one thing that you'll notice on a player's iron as well that you won't see on most game improvement irons and most player improvement irons.
Yeah. I think that's probably more important, which, like, yes, we fit off of mats indoors. You could still tell the difference.
Well, we can see it on camera,
too. Yeah, true. And that's where it's very player-specific because that new Mizuno Pro S3, I mean, that thing's sole is a butter knife.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of tour guys that have gone away from old MP, you know, 33s, a traditional, you know, Mizuno blade and jumped into these S3s just because, you know, they're a little bit easier to hit, but still have that traditional performance where you can hit every single window, ball flight wise, and things like that from there.
Ben Griffin just got a one with him, obviously, too.
Yep. For our Mizuno guys, using a max fly ball.
Daniel Berger, first time switching irons in 13 years.
What's he playing?
He's playing Blueprint S's. He committed to him about 4 months ago and has kept him in. So no more 2011 piece. What were they? MCs, Tour Preferred MCs.
Which company do you feel like can do a better job with these type of irons?
That's tough.
I would say Callaway.
Really?
I would say Callaway. I just feel like the 2024 Apex MBCB line And then they came out and then they released the Tour CB, which is the TCB. And they released the TCB just because they weren't doing that great with the... I just feel like they were not super forgiving. Like, there's just other irons that were comparable that were easier to hit, you know. But that being said, I think a lot of these companies here, like Srixon, Mizuno, Titleist, I mean, they've kind of been still on the ball.
Yep.
You know, and I like how some of these companies push their line all together, like the T100 series, or T series, I should say. They all blend together.
Yeah, you can technically combo them all.
Yep. Anything else you want to add?
No.
So if you're not playing one of these, you're not a player? Is that what we're saying? I'm just kidding.
It's kind of like if you don't chew Big Red.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But Ricky Bobby knows the rest of that.
Yeah, but if you, I mean, obviously there's a lot of brands out there on the market that make this type of iron. Let us know the iron that you play. I mean, the most important thing is no one needs to convince you on anything. It's your club.
Yeah, you need to hit it.
Yeah.
Hit it, feel it, see it, touch it.
Yeah. Would you look at that? Let's go into some show and tell. This is actually pretty cool. Now, this is where we can get on some companies. This here is in celebration of Rory completing the Grand Slam. You can buy his irons, which TaylorMade has done in the past, aka the P7 TWs. Eventually, they're going to be called the P7 SSs, Scotty Schefflers, because guys just dominating with them. But yeah, you could buy the Roars Proto. Essentially, TaylorMade guys have been playing, each TaylorMade guy has been playing their own version of an iron for how long now? Well, gosh, it feels like forever.
These were there. So what a lot of people don't know, I actually used to work at TaylorMade when this came out. It's a P730 prototype with their name on it.
Correct.
So it's not really anything drastically different as far as CG weighting to P730.
But each player probably has the offset.
Correct.
Like the
shape. I think these have a little bit of offset to them. So, I mean, there is some slight tweaking, but essentially they're re-releasing the P730 with Rory's name on it.
Yeah. When did the P730s come out?
Is that 2016?
I was going to say.
Yeah.
I feel like I was in college.
That's when P770, 750s first came out.
How much were you able to get these for? I think it was like 2,000 first set. Like, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, because we can order them custom built to your specs through our account as well, which surprised me. This is the first not internet exclusive re-release there is.
Yeah, I mean, perfect example, like Rory's playing these type of irons. His four iron is a 790.
Yeah, prototype, man.
Yeah. So even best players in the world aren't afraid to kind of mix it up a little bit. But no, I think it's pretty cool. I think if you have some money you just want to throw around, put these up on a shelf, I think that'd be pretty sick. I mean, we have Dustin Johnson's Masters putter, which I thought was pretty cool, but no, I think it's cool that TaylorMade did this, but it's funny.
It's nice. It's not a gimmick re-release. It's actually something cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that's the thing is in 2016, when these came out, they didn't play the 730 version. They had a Rose Proto, DJ Proto, and Roars Proto.
They had a Tommy Fleetwood Proto, which was a copy of the Tiger Iron.
And then I think Jason Day wasn't playing this iron. He was playing
P770s. And then switching to the 750 Protos with Sergio.
Correct. Technically, none of these guys played an iron that said 730. Oh, yeah.
Those were the good old days.
Well, like, that's when everybody should have known that, like, these tour guys have access to stuff that we don't have. Like, they're not playing the same stuff. They're not playing.
Some of that stuff was so much fun.
Ways to Golf says, my concept for the modern golf club, think college golf facility meets elite private club all within 30 minutes of a major metro area. Pristine grass range and indoor bays with TrackMan, 4-6 template green complex, Barrett's, Redan, Punch Bowl, etc. Several more tee boxes configured into a 9-hole routing every day of the most par threes and couple of par fours.
I don't know why I want to see squash. It just
large putting green, gym, amenities, squash and or tennis if the space allows. Dude, does this guy not play pickleball? Like, large locker room, bar area, limited preferred food. have a small, active young membership and also offer guest day passes to surrounding clubs. I think there's a value as a supplement to a private club and or temporary replacement for these on wait list or those who don't have the time to play enough 18-hole rounds to enjoy a nice private club.
Was this guy in our meeting, like our what we're trying to do?
No.
Yeah.
Technically, it's like this guy's trying to build this to cater to a private club. If your private club's really about it, they're already doing this, right? Like Cape Fear Country Club near us, they have an 18-hole short, or they have a 9-hole par 3 course, brand new teaching center, like
Trackman Bays.
Like if your golf club, like they would already be doing this. So like this concept isn't necessarily like new or revolutionary to an actual private club. I will say yes. I mean, he's just. This is like something a guy that's not a member of a private club but enjoys playing private clubs like would say he wants every place to be.
For cities that have long wait lists for their top clubs.
Wow.
But it's still
like,
private.
That's the definition of privilege. Again, I'm a very capitalist. Like, cool. Like, there's a reason why there's a wait list. Like,
this doesn't fix the access to public golf issue.
No.
Especially like what we have because pretty soon.
Golfers per capita based off of golf courses, we don't have anywhere near enough golf holes.
Well, technically public golf, we only have 3 courses
and
left here.
The reason why private clubs have wait lists, like that's a good problem to have. Right? So I don't get what this guy is trying to say with that. Like there's a reason why there's a wait list, dude. Like they don't just let anybody in. But I'm a big fan. Like I think if you're actually a city like this, what he's looking for, I think if you truly did have a you can say semi-private, you could sell memberships, but like a par 3 course / practice facility / recreation, any sport, like have it all encompassing, cities need to do more of that. Right. Mm-hmm. Like they're, I think it's, I could be wrong, but I think Gil Hance is building a 9-hole course, a par 3 course in Raleigh right now. I mean, there's definitely, these are popping up over the place in cities and stuff like this. I mean, I think I would like to see more golf courses being built that aren't private.
Yep. Because right. Cities like us, that's the problem we face is we've got Muni. We've got,
which is amazing.
We're lucky to have it, but it's so crowded because it's a city owned golf course. They're not going to turn away money.
Sooner or later, we're going to run into the Bethpage problem.
Beau Rivage, and then we've got Castle Bay. And obviously, there's a few other proximity driving, but truly in Wilmington, like
within a 30 minute drive. Yeah. Let's just say 30 minutes because that's what he's referring to is 30 minutes.
About it.
You got one golf course within 30 minutes. I mean, from here to Beau Rivage is almost over 30 minutes.
It depends on traffic.
Yeah. So, I mean,
and too, if you're already on a waiting list, what did you have to pay at 90% of clubs to get on the waiting list?
Also, like this guy's just pointing out every golf professional's dream.
Yeah.
Like this is exactly like what someone wants is a facility that kind of just runs itself, but doesn't have to be a full 18-hole golf course.
I like the concept, but for public, not just
for,
not to already cater to the guy that's already paid a $40,000 initiation
fee. I just think this
fee.
Would be awesome for the people waiting on a wait list. Like, do you hear yourself?
Yeah.
Like, I don't get this, but I will say, probably what took inspiration from this because he said college golf facility is Alabama's new $40 million golf facility, which is like looks like obviously it's not white, but it looks exactly like that. Like it's awesome. But I can get behind it. If investors want to build a short course around here, you need someone to work there, I'll do it. I'm just kidding. Anything else? Leave it at that.
Well, cool. Well, if you haven't already, like and subscribe, turn on push bell notifications, and we'll catch you on the next episode.